Isn't God good?
Amen. All the time.
All the time.
He is so good. So good. You know, there have been a handful of times during, especially, I don't know what it is, but the last month or so, where you just, I find myself reflecting about a year ago, and, this mic, no good?
No.
It's crackling, crackling.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anyway, you know, you kind of reflect it back and you say, wow, we moved. What if we wouldn't have moved? You know? You know, what if we didn't move? I don't say that in a down kind of thing. I say that isn't God good? And Pastor Christine mentioned it a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week, but when she said God kind of hit us, you know, kind of kept us in a shelter. And I mean, right here, nice, warm, clean. Praise God. You know, and I'm just so thankful. You know, and then as we were worshiping God today, I was just thinking about the already versus the not yet. That phrase kind of came to mind. The already versus not yet. What Jesus came to do is already. Right? What we are waiting for is the not yet. And sometimes that waiting period can be hard. You know, and sometimes I'll reflect back and, you know, I'll reflect back about where God has brought this church, how many times the enemy has tried to squash this church. And we're still kind of in this good fight of faith. And then there are moments when I know some of you are hanging on by your fingernails going, I know God's got something for this church. And you're hanging with us, and thank God you are. Because you're a strength to us as well. Because we know what God, this was God's design to plant a church here. It was God. He's the one who woke me up in the middle of the night and said, Mount Kisco, Westchester Family Church. And that was almost 20 years ago. And I want you to know, God's faithful. And he will perform what he said he would do. Amen?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with my message, but praise God. I just felt like sharing it. All right. Amen, amen. Well, we're talking about you're worth it. I thought I was going to finish today, but I'm not. It's okay. It's all right. You're worth it. And I believe it's because God really wants you to know how valuable you really are. So let's approach the word. We're going to be beginning with 3 John 2. But let's go ahead and approach the word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for utterance from the Holy Spirit today. God, that you would speak to us through your holy written word. Father, that you would speak through me as I speak, and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name. All right. So, 3 John 2. 3 John 2, if we can go ahead and have that. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Last week we talked about soul prosperity in your soul. And we used this same verse. Today I want to talk to you about you're worth it to receive health. Now, I'm not going to go in the direction of healing as I might be tempted to. Tempted in a good way. Because you know we're a healing church. We believe in healing. We believe healing is for today. You're going to hear about that next week. Today I'm going to talk about health, going up the mountain, as one minister put it, up a different way. We're going to go up a different way that normally is not talked about a lot in church, and that is your health. Your health is valuable. Your health is important. In fact, this is the way the Lord gave it to me for the message today, that your health and your body, we're talking specifically now about your body. Remember, we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. So often the church has ignored the body. They really have. I don't know how many times growing up and being a Christian, how many times I've seen super duper unhealthy ministers. And nothing was ever said. You know, and I'm not belittling them. I'm not shaming them. Nothing like that. But what I am saying is sometimes we just ignore the elephant in the room. Our health. Are we taking care of ourselves? Because it is a tool that is on loan from God. Your health, your body, is a tool on loan from God. God is calling us to steward something. Have you ever heard the word stewardship? Anybody in here? It's an old-fashioned word that we don't use that often. Usually when it is used in church when it comes to money. Stewarding the money that God has given you. But biblical stewardship is defined as this: utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. The central essence of that view of stewardship is managing everything God brings into the believer's life in a way that honors God. I'll say it again. Stewardship of our body, okay, is managing everything that God brings into the believer's life in a way that can honor Him. That can honor Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Let's look at what that says. Or do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So guess what? You're called to steward your body. Some of us are a little better than others. Okay? Again, no condemnation. But you know what? You're worth it to invest in yourself. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're worth it. You're worth it to receive health. It's okay. It's okay to do that. It's okay to actually invest in your body. Now, I grew up, in a church, that taught some really good things from the Word of God. Then I got over among the Pentecostals, and some of them were a little bit extreme. Women didn't wear makeup in some of the churches, not the one I went to. But some of the churches, the women wouldn't wear makeup, the women wouldn't wear pants, and they very austere, without any, men weren't allowed to wear jewelry at all, not even a wedding band. And I can remember going to a meeting, and our church was much more free. Thank God that I had a good, balanced church. They were part of that denomination, but they stuck with the word, and they were just free. They were free. And I'll never forget, I got sent as a representative to represent our youth group. And I was a youth intern, so I was not a youth pastor yet. But I was training to become a youth pastor. So I show up. I lived in South Florida. I was a surfer. I had a mullet. I did have a mullet. Okay, a mullet, if you don't know, is a surfer haircut that is, kind of buzzed on the top, long in the back with a perm.
No.
Do you have any
true
pictures?
Story. She
good.
Has a picture.
Can you show that next week?
And I show up to Denny's for a meeting of what I thought was other people like me. And I show up into the room. I've got flip-flops, jeans. You know I like to dress comfortable. Okay. Jeans, flip-flops, open-collar golf shirt with a big gold cross on my neck.
Yeah.
And I also, I think I was wearing some kind of like beaded bracelet. I was very tan from being at the beach. And I walked in looking for the youth worker meeting. And the lady at the Denny's, you know how back in the day, they don't do this now, but back in the day, there was a lady and she was at the desk. She goes, "Oh, I'll take you over to them." It took me to this group of like very grumpy looking old men in suits. And then immediately I was greeted with, "You must be from Maranatha." That was the name of the church. "You must be from Maranatha." I said, "How did you know?" They said, "Well, we're here to talk about the youth meeting." And they just seemed like they were so miserable. And the reason why I'm telling that story is because the emphasis so often is on the exterior. Sometimes in religious circles, it's just the exterior. And I was just in love with Jesus. I had gotten saved about 2 or 3 years before. I had learned about the things of God. I was in college. I knew God had called me to the ministry. I was excited about, let's reach young people for Jesus. I mean, I remember. I didn't do it for that meeting, but I used to sometimes tie a bandana around my leg. That was a thing. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. So, I would go to the mall and just witness to kids. Go up to them and say, "Hey, can I talk to you about Jesus?" I mean, I was excited about the things of God. And what I'm saying is the emphasis on the exterior, first in 1 Samuel, when God, and we're not going to go there, but when God actually picks out David, he makes a statement. He says, "Man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart." And that particular denomination, I believe they meant well. I believe those men loved Jesus. So I want to balance what I'm trying to say. And I'm not saying that I was that much better. I can learn from people like that. But you have to get past some of that kind of thing. And I remember, I actually got in with these guys, learned them, helped them, and we actually did several youth activities incorporating their youth. And I remember one of them, he took me out to lunch one day. And he looked at me and goes, "You're just nothing but a knee-jerk liberal, aren't you?" And I went, "How am I supposed to take that right now?" And I said, "I don't know what you mean." He says, "Well, don't you believe what Jesus said?" I said, "Yes, I do." And so we began to talk, and at the end, we became friends. And I was able to share some things with him. He was able to share some things with me. And we were able to actually reach some young people for God. And what I mean by that is sometimes we put emphasis on the wrong thing. And in the body of Christ, I think we've ignored our bodies to the point that either we've treated them austerely, no makeup, no jewelry, or we just ignored it. And I believe that God wants us to steward our body. Look at what Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2 says. You have a body that's on loan from God. Notice what it says here. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present" what?
Your body.
"As a" what? "A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." So in thinking about this idea of our body is, we are to steward our body. We talked about what stewardship was. We're to steward our body. I'm going to ask you this. Has anybody in here ever borrowed a car from a friend? You ever borrowed a nice car from a friend? Anybody? Okay. What did it make you feel like? What did it make you feel? Feel really good, right? You're driving this nice car, right? But when you went to go park it at the mall, where did you park it?
Far away as possible.
Far away as possible, right? Because you feel what? Responsible, right? I'll never forget I had gotten in a car accident, and I didn't have a car, and I was needing to get myself to college. I was a sophomore in college, and I was living at home at that time, and my dad, he had his car. Now, my dad's car, hold on to your seats, it was not super fancy. It was a little bit rough because it was an older one, but it was a 1963 Porsche.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
And it was red.
Whoa.
I'm all of 19 years old. I'm 19. I have a mullet. I like to go surfing. I'll never forget, my dad said to me, he said, I know the car needs a little bit of work here and there, but I know you'll take care of it. And he looked at me and he said, here's the keys. And he said, just be careful. And I was amazed that he gave me that responsibility. I almost cried. I drove that car for a year. I waxed that car, even though the paint job was horrible because it was an older one at the time. Now it's considered an amazing car, you know, 40 years later. But back then, you know, everybody was like, oh, it's a cool car, but it wasn't the new Porsche, right? And I even got a speeding ticket in it because the speedometer was broken. That's what I told the police officer, for sure. But here's the thing. I cared for it. I cared for it. I treated it as if it was mine, knowing it wasn't. I parked it away from everybody else because my dad couldn't stand door dings. I was very, very conscious of the fact that this was a borrowed vehicle. It was not mine. God has given you a body that you are to steward and take care of. You're worth it to invest in your body. Why? Because it is a tool. And what's it a tool for? It's a tool to get you to bring the gospel to others. You become a steward of, if you become a steward of a car, I mean, when you borrowed that car from that friend, I bet when you returned it, you probably put gas in it more than it had in it when you borrowed it. I mean, you probably did. You're like, oh, okay, I'm going to fill up the tank, or I'm going to, you know, try to do something nice for him. If you couldn't afford to fill up the tank, you might wash it and run it through the washer. You might, you know, make sure it's vacuumed out because it was a muddy day. There was something that you took care of. Why? Because it was worth it that your friend invested that in you. God has invested an amazing human body. You, according to Psalm, turn with me to Psalm 139 and verse 14. It says that you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Have you ever stopped to just stare at your hand and see the intricacy of your hand? And to see how amazing this body is? And we have several medical people in our church. How the ability for the body to heal itself, the ability for the body to fight off disease, the ability for our body to actually bounce back from amazing things. I know some of you in here, because I've been with you at the hospital, you've had major surgeries. Some of you who know my testimony, I just don't get how in the world they can cut a hole in my head, sew me back up, and then I can still talk. That's not human power. That's God power.
Amen.
Amen.
You were fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. My soul knows it very well. God has given you a multi-tool. Those of you guys that like tools, this is like the ultimate multi-tool. Why? Well, because without it, you can't live here. You can't live on planet Earth without this body. Okay? It's been stewarded to you for a period of time. And God does expect us to present it. I don't know about you, but When you go to present something, don't you put your best foot forward? Right? You know, several years ago, some of the men in a church, we got together and we did a car show. Right here. Right out here. If there's anybody in here that was here during that time, it was fun. We even got some guys who would normally never come to church, brought their cars. We had a Lamborghini out here. We had a Corvette out here. We had some really cool cars. We had a strange looking motorcycle. We had a race car. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. But I guarantee you, when the guys came to present, I mean, they got here early. They backed in. You always know a teenager when they get a new car too. They back in. It's kind of like a thing. They back in. It's like my car, right? You present. You put your best foot forward. What about when you're getting ready to go for a job interview? What do? You dress it up, don't you? You dress the tent up. The Apostle Paul calls our body a tent. I heard one minister put it this way. It's an earth suit. You know, we've been doing a little homeschooling regarding space exploration and seeing some of the old Apollo films and hearing about the International Spacewalk. I think it's number 260-something right now. And you see this amazing suit that they have to wear in space in order to do the spacewalk. You were fearfully and wonderfully made to have a suit to live on planet Earth. It's what we use to get from point A to point B. It is an amazing multi-tool. You know, when you think of that responsibility, and then you think, okay, well, what am I putting into my tool? Well, how do I take care of that tool? You are not your own. We just read that. You're not your own. You know, Billy Graham said this about health. When wealth is lost, listen to this. This is good. When wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When character is lost, all is lost. One writer put it this way, our bodies are tools, not treasures. You should not spend your days trying to preserve your body in its 18-year-old form. We are not to treat our bodies like museum pieces either. They were given for us. They were not given for us to preserve. They were given for us to use. So use it cheerfully, maintain it cheerfully. To live in physical health and healing, God desires for us to take care of it. And I began to think about what the Word of God says in Galatians when it says that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. What do you sow to? In fact, it says in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. What are you putting into your body will also determine what you get out of it. For those, some people, they spend such extremes taking care of the tool. They live in the gym and they go nowhere. They just live in the gym. Have you ever known anybody like that? I have. I mean, I know one person. They live in the gym. It's like, what kind of life is that? And nothing is ever good enough what they do for their tool. It's never good enough. They didn't push hard enough. They didn't do this enough. They didn't do that enough. It's like, what are you trying to do? You know, enjoy your life. You see, our bodies were meant for a purpose to glorify God. Glorify God in your mortal body. Present yourself a living sacrifice. What are you doing? That's not to ignore. That's not to put junk in your body either. The Word of God tells us that daily exercise profits little. In other words, you should do things like to take care of the tent. If your roof is leaking, what do? You call the roofer, right? If there are things that need to be adjusted, go ahead and do it. I came across an interesting fact. Are you worth more than $1.50 a day? Anybody in here?
Oh, yeah.
You worth more than $1.50 a day? Okay. Do you know that a study from Harvard says that in order to eat healthy, it'll dip the difference between eating healthy and unhealthy is only $1.50 a day. That's it for the average person. $1.50 a day. What are you talking about? Cheap food, processed food, junk food, fast food. It's only going to cost you $1.50 a day to eat healthier food. Fruits, vegetables, things of that nature. You're worth it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're worth it. You're worth it. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. I think a lot of times we're not willing or we're not obedient. We need to change our perspective. You're worth it to put good things into your body. The typical American spends $1,200 on fast food annually. That breaks down to $100 a month.
Wow.
What could you do with an extra $100 a month? Right? You know, in working with a lot of young people, I see how much money is literally wasted on fast food. Mm-hmm. What are you putting in? In fact, I learned it when I first got around electronics and computer clubs when I was in high school. Garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage in, guess what's going to happen to your body? Your tent will break down. God expects you to steward this body. Turn to your neighbor again and say, you're worth it. Did you know most schools, in fact, some of the Ivy League schools, were started by Christians? Harvard was founded in 1636 on a library and estate of a young Puritan minister. Oberlin College, begun in 1833 by a Presbyterian minister. Earlham College, begun in 1847 by Quakers. All of them were institutions of higher learning. They emphasized healthful or healthy lifestyles in addition to academic excellence. You see, what is God asking of us? He's asking of us to steward your body. Why? Because you're worth it. You've only been given one. When you wear it out, guess what happens? You don't get to live on earth anymore. So don't wear it out too early. There are too many assignments for you and me to take care of. You know, I went to a school, Oral Roberts University, well known for body or for spirit, soul, and body. They called it the whole man, educating the whole man. Oh, I grumbled when I was there. I grumbled. Why? Because every single semester that I was there until I graduated, I had to work out. My daughter went there. She had to work out. Guess what? They even, now that they're electronically savvy, they had to wear a Fitbit every single semester. Of course, everybody learns how to circumvent the system. But back in my day, we would just, you know, kind of figure out how many points we could get by running to the cafeteria. Right? Because you had to have so many aerobic points. And if you didn't get them, you would fail. They would not give you your degree. Now, in Sarah's case, when she went there, they took their Fitbits, and sometimes when they were running short on points, they would put it on top of the dryer. And they would get enough points. But here's the book. But that's not honesty. I'm not telling you that Sarah did that. I don't believe she did. You can ask her. I really don't know, but she would tell me about all the fun things that people would do just to kind of catch up on the points. But here's the thing. At the end of every semester, they did a field test. What's a field test? Everybody runs. If you didn't do your points, guess what's going to happen to you? You are not going to make it on the field test. You know, God has some things prepared in advance for you and me to do. Some of us, we might not get there if we don't take care of this. I'm serious. This is not meant to be a downer. I want you to see that you're worth it to invest in good food. You're worth it to invest in maybe an exercise plan. You're worth it for your kids, for your grandkids to do something on a consistent, regular basis. I'm inspired by my wife because she's done that. Most of us, if we allow our body a voice, because your body has a voice. How many in here know what I'm talking about? Your body has a voice. Pastor Christine even alluded to it today. The voice said, I don't know if I want to come to church. Right? And if you don't think that pastors don't go through with that, you're wrong. Especially on a cold day. She's being transparent, right? There have been times, you know, so that she didn't want to go walking. But about a little over a year ago, she had to take the dog out. I was at a conference, and she decided, I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk outside. And she started walking outside. She's done that every single day, rain or shine, snow or ice, every single day for over a year. Walking every day. Here's the criteria. You got to walk outside. That was hers because she wanted to get fresh air. And I'll never forget, we had to go to a meeting in Connecticut, and it was getting ready. It was like 11:15 at night. We're driving home. It was going to take us probably 45 minutes to an hour to get home. And she says, oh, I didn't do my walk. And I'm going, okay, so you'll have to do it when you get home. She goes, no, it'll be after midnight. I can't do that. I got to walk every day. I was like, well, what are you talking about? She's committed. This woman is committed. Anything she sets her mind to, she's committed. And she says, no, I got to walk. Pull over. I'm like, we're on Interstate 84. I don't think I'm pulling over in Waterbury, Connecticut. I'm not doing it. And she goes, no. Go to that gas station. Lo and behold, pull into the gas station. Nicely lit. And she starts walking around the gas station. And I sat there and I watched her. I did. I watched her. I said, I'm gonna guard you. I'm going to watch you. So I guarded her that way. Such a protector. Anyway, I leaned against the car and watched her. But what consistency. Consistency. Don't, you know, this is where we make the mistake. We try to climb Mount Everest before we ever even climb the stairs. A little bit. It just takes a little bit. A little bit of walking, a little bit of bike riding. Take care of your tent. Eating right. You're worth it to buy organic. Some of you talk yourself out of it. You go, oh, I'm not worth it. I'm not worth it, but I'll just have another bag of potato chips. Right? And here's the thing. When we get down, when we start to get stressed out about our bodies, we don't feel good about ourselves, science tells us that it breaks things down and we become less healthy. I think it's important for us as believers to be examples. I'm not saying I've always done that. I haven't. I'm just telling you that from the perspective of God telling us to be a steward, we have a job to do. I'll never forget it. And now I'm going to close with this. We're going to go back to Romans 12, 1 and 2. When I was in college, I remember I knew God had called me. And I was complaining one day about having to do all this working out stuff and what a waste of time it was. First of all, I was never an athlete. Some people, they're like athletes. They just love it. They get this high on working out. That was never me. And so I was like, oh, man, I just want to study the word. I just want to be around people. I want to tell people about Jesus. And I had this physical fitness teacher. He pulled me aside. He said, Mitchell? I said, yeah. He said, what do you want to do in life? I said, I want to preach the gospel. Now, that's a Christian school, right? And he looked at me and he said, you don't want to be a sick minister trying to preach the gospel. Take care of yourself. And it was only recently, as I was preparing this message, that God reminded of him having that one-on-one conversation with me. I was 17 years old. And he said, "So what do you want to do?" I said, "I want to preach the gospel. I want to preach the gospel around the world." He said, "Don't you want to be healthy?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm going to believe God for healing." He said, "You're going to believe God for healing, but you need to take care of your body." Never forget it. I had put it in the back of my mind. But I, as I was preparing for this message, God brought that back up. Isn't God good?
Yes.
See, you're worth it. He's invested so much. He said, and we already went over that verse, but he said that you were bought with a price. You are stewarding this body. You're worth it. You're valuable. And in this series, that's what we've been talking about. Your worth, your value. It's okay to invest in yourself. You've got a job to do. You've got a purpose to run. If you make it till you are 80 or 90 years old, or even longer as science and everything else that's out there, don't you want to have the physical fitness to share the gospel with other people? To tell them the hope that you have? Take care of yourself. You're okay. It's okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, "It's okay. You're worth it." Amen. Praise God. The Bible says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, this is how we're going to close the sermon here, that I beseech you, that means the Apostle Paul says, I beg you, because of God's mercy, that you present your body. Present it to him as what? A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. You see, your body does have a voice, and sometimes you need to just tell your body what to do. You're not just going to, no, you need to get up. You need to get up. You need to work out, or you need to exercise. You need to do some walking, even if it's a little bit. You do something. Do something. Give God something to work with. Amen?
Amen.
All right. As a way of reminder for this week, as you leave today, everybody gets an orange. And it's really a good orange. They're called Sky Valley oranges, one of my family's favorite. And a water. Why? Because you're worth it to put good things inside. Water represents life. Fruit is something that is good to eat. It's good to put it in your body. Your body needs fruits and vegetables. So put it on your counter. But eat it. Don't just stare at it. Eat it. And you're like, what if I don't like oranges? Then give it to somebody who does, but drink the water. Do something for yourself this week. Put something in that's good. Put something in that's good. Amen? Cheaper food is not always cheaper. So think about that when you're shopping today or tomorrow or this week. Amen. Praise God. You say, what does that have to do with the gospel? I think it has a lot to do with the gospel. Because you're expected to present. Present. Give it to God. Give it to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet right now. Thank you, Lord. I've been mostly talking to Christians here, but if you've never asked Jesus Christ in your life as your Lord and Savior, that's a way that you start that walk with God. It's just real simple. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You believe in your heart that Jesus came and died for your sins. You receive that forgiveness by faith. You ask for it and you confess it with your mouth. Amen. Our closing verse today is this: the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. We love you. You're worth it.